I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by Ross and Sam. Been busy?
No.
No?
Yeah. It feels like I've not seen either of you since the party.
Any news?
No.
Not really, no. Just work.
How's the family? They
Vince is retired.
Everyone worked.
Yeah,
well, family's
yeah.
Well,
good,
yeah.
Yeah, you?
Yeah. Yeah, not too bad,
good.
Yeah.
Nothing to report, no. Except for the fact, of course, that Vince McMahon announced on Friday this week that he is retiring from WWE, retiring from his active duties, but he is still the majority shareholder. We're here with a lovely pitches video for you. We're going to go around in a circle. Ross will pitch something that he'd like to... Pitches that you'd like to see now that...
Well, now that Vince McMahon isn't... Because we know he's the majority shareholder of the company still, but yes. It seems that he's gone away from...
co-CEO as
with
well.
With Nikon, yes.
Yeah, but it seems that he's gone away from the head of creative. He's gone away from his day-to-day roles. He's gone away from just putting together the show. Apparently, Triple H, Meltzer was saying, was the closest thing to a Vince McMahon on SmackDown on Friday.
Terrifying.
Backstage, so all the best to Paul.
Yes, Paul.
All the best, Paul. So we're going to try and pitch what we would like to see happen in a non-Vince McMahon world, even though we don't fully believe, well, I don't at least, believe that Vince McMahon's completely gone yet.
Because he's still a majority shareholder, as you say. Bruce Pritchard's still involved, who is
Stephanie.
Someone who very much carried Vince's vision. His little daughter is also at the helm.
Vince has once been pushed to a point where he almost handed control of the company over to somebody else before as well. So I figure he's had quite some experience in making plans for, if I've got to quickly get away... Here's what happens.
Right. So we're not saying necessarily that these are changes that we fully believe will happen. It's just things that... Well, to sum it up, it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Ross, could you please start us off?
Well, I'm going to just go for a wholesome approach for the first one because I'm a wholesome little cherub. And I would like to see these wrestlers who put their bodies on the line every single time they go in the professional wrestling ring and then twats like us sit here and we go, oh, you could have done that a bit better. Mm-hmm. But I want to see these people that break their bodies for our entertainment not work like dogs anymore. And I know that this is something that has changed because of the pandemic, but it feels like slowly, we're going back to working 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 double shots and all that sort of stuff eventually down the line. So I'm going to try and see them not be worked like dogs. And also... To sort of tie in with that, if somebody wants to go away and do a movie, let them, Vince McMahon. If someone wants to go away and just have a holiday, let them. If someone wants to, pitch an off-season in December when no one gives a toss about the wrestling, let's do it. Why the hell not?
I just realised something there. It's something we're all going to have to get used to now because you went, let them, Vince McMahon.
But it's not Vince
McMahon. It's not Vince anymore. Who do we even say? Let them.
Nick McMahon.
Conglomerate at the top.
Yeah,
let them.
So yours is very much, yours is overall, I guess, a scheduling thing.
Because again, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to go there. AEW has shown you can make money just working one night a week.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and there, the injuries happen in wrestling. I know you can't predict when injuries are going to happen, but the less they work and, the little accumulative ones that build up when you're just breaking your body 7 nights a week, that they just make it a nicer place to work.
And also, less time on the road, they've got to see their families more, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Because it is obviously changing because just the way we're all changing as human beings back from the cocaine of the 80s and the guns and the whatnot. Now we play video games, have a nice time, but the business is changing. But to say go a bit further towards putting the human behind the wrestler first, if that makes any real sense.
So that's very good.
More money for less dates for an increased quality of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, because obviously Vince has done it one way, the whole of his career, apart from the pandemic year, obviously. Yeah. But now we've got Stephanie, who, I don't know, she might just like the way her dad did it and might see no reason for change. But Nick Khan, I think scrutiny is the word for him now. It depends, obviously, what comes out now about Vince that we all apparently believe is
This is the thing. I think that WWE, if it is going to be under such intense scrutiny, that they are going to have to, you know, make a lot of these changes very quickly, because it's going to be brought to everybody's attention. Because we all already know about, you know, the independent contract stuff and the dates they work and everything. But I think, like, once the wider world, because do you remember when Bayley was on that morning TV show and it was like, so you pay for your own travel?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, they very much get all the drawbacks of being an independent contractor with none of the perks, i.e. Yeah. working for other companies and stuff. Yeah. I mean, how do you say no to that one, Ross? Yeah. It's a big yes for me.
If you're an arsehole, you might.
It's a yes from me.
Yeah. Sam, it's a yes from me,
It's a big yes to start. I feel like, contrary to some of these pitches videos where it's more of a creative thing, there's going to be a lot of yeses, because a lot of these are going to be fan favorite ideas.
It is Vince McMahon,
I'll
obviously.
Slowly put my Goldberg ones away.
Yes, you will. Immediately.
It's a weird video, because obviously Vince has had a great deal of success over the past 40 years doing things a certain way.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go, do it different. It'll be better.
The wrestling industry is behind the times generally. It is, yeah. So yes, fair enough. Sam, what's your first pitch?
So mine is a tonal shift for everybody, because obviously, you know, we've had the recent move to TV14, and it's, you know, it could possibly get more edgy, but at the same time, Linda's been to so many of these things over the years where they do, you know, the big media talks, and it's always like, oh, well, you know, we want fans for life. And they're never gonna like move away from that mentality. They want to hook you while you're young into wrestling, and then they want to keep you for as long as possible. And so I think to do that and achieve a tonal shift at the same time, the competition just feels a lot more realistic across the board, from AEW to UFC, like, because they are competing with UFC, whether they are right. or not directly. But, you know, it doesn't need to go like full 90s. It doesn't need to go like full crazy. But I think just slowly changing some of the language being used, being less forceful with some of the buzzwords like superstars and, right. and WWE Universe, maybe, you know, treating it slightly more like a sport. But then, you know, AEW's managed to find a nice balance between crazy blood matches, barbed wire and insanity, and athletic competition. And I don't think it's really harming them. And I think that you could maybe have one of the main roster shows be slightly more violent, slightly more like it used to be.
Is it just Raw that's gotten a TV for you?
Yeah. Is it just Raw? Yeah, so I think you could have, like Raw do that, whereas you could have more of an athletic focus on another main roster show like SmackDown. And then you can do something that they tried in like 2012, which was called Saturday Morning Slam, which was like a self-contained thing for a much younger audience, where they had Mick Foley as the commissioner.
Oh, yes.
And they had all this kind of, it was a way to kind of springboard new talent, which obviously now would be NXT, but it'd be, you know, maybe people who are fresh in front of the audience. It's a good way to kind of get them out there in front of a crowd, providing a show that is suitable for all ages, while also being able to have that offering of slightly more violent, slightly more wacky. You know, even moments recently, well, not that recently, but, you know, Braun pulling the set down, Braun pushing over the ambulance. You can go hokey 90s stuff, you know, like cement in the car, blowing up the bus or whatever. But it doesn't need to be every week. It doesn't need to be full, like, wrestle crap levels of Attitude Era. But I think that being able to offer something different on each show slightly, while having that main thread running through it all, I think that will bring many more eyes to the product. And with Raw being the flagship as well, it'll hopefully, if people are tuning in for the first time, they'll be like, oh, it's a lot more mature than it was.
Yes. I'm glad you brought this one up, because the bits you were saying at the start there about the change of the language used, like superstars, title opportunities, championship titles, the banning of certain words like wrestling belts, that was one of the most immediate reactions people had when they were speculating about this very topic we're talking about in this video. So people started saying, like, Xavier Woods, I think, on SmackDown mentioned Ring of Honor and New Japan on commentary.
It's been a thing for years, though, on commentary. It's when the Good Brothers, they were the so many IWGP time champions.
They tend to just mention it once or twice, though. It's very kind of sparing it whenever they've done it.
The fact that he did it that night seemed a bit headline grabbing.
I guess that's changed with Ring of Honor as well, with them being acquired by the enemy.
I guess all of mine are kind of like, it's all based in stuff like this, where it's what are the small things wrestling fans are going to notice that's immediately going to turn it around. But if you look at like how reality TV in the US is going now, with like Real Housewives of Atlanta level stuff, it's the world's getting slightly more trashy and Jerry Springer-y again. So maybe that will facilitate a little bit more of the wacky kind of goings on was to start getting a bit weird again.
And you're saying that this recent change to TV14 could like facilitate that
a little bit. Not all the time, not constantly, but when the situation calls for it, blood. When the situation calls for it, swearing. When the situation calls for it, somebody pushing over a bus.
What's the date? Is it the 24th today? It's tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first Raw of the TV 14 era.
There better be lots of blood.
I reckon. I'll give you odds of 2-1 on for over 15 bitches.
Oh, that's your over-under on bitches. Yeah. Okay, right. That's the use of the word bitches. Sam, it's a yes from me. One of the most frustrating things for me about WWE is the pretending that this is the only way things are and that this is a self-contained universe. Ross has mentioned that it's slackened slightly recently, but pretending that no other wrestling exists or that this is all sports entertainment, it feels very sterile at times. So it's a big yes from me. Ross?
Yeah, get them all, gang. Get all of the
Vince. Get them all, blood. Get them all
gone. All those the bitches.
Get them all in. Get all the Vince McMahonisms out. Just let's act like normal human beings would.
One thing as well, let commentators call the moves by the move names.
I'll bring this up later, but because my last one kind of ties into the first one, but yeah, stuff like that, it's these little things that are immediately going to make wrestling fans go, that's different.
Yeah.
And then that's going to lead to hype in our circle that then leads to trends that then leads to slight hype in other circles.
Of course.
We need the people who, now this is obviously a weird thing to say, but the people who work there to stand up for themselves now.
Stand up for WWE.
Because it's clear that Pat McAfee, and as rich as he is just outside of wrestling, he's come into the wrestling and he's gone, no Vince, I'll not do your standard heel commentary stuff. Yeah. And look at the great success he's brought to Michael Cole's career once again. Yeah, so 100%. Why can't that happen on Raw and happen on NXT and everywhere else?
We've heard of that happening through the years, though. Like, somebody will get a Vince and resist, and it turns into something great. But I think
Pat
had the
freedom.
I think the fear of being a wrestler, if I was there, if I was one of the best wrestlers going and I was there, I'd still be a bit like, I really don't want to do this, but I don't want to say anything because they'll just send me into a tag team and I'll never be seen again.
It's the great, isn't it? We hear people like Austin and that talk about how you've got to rock the boat, you've got to stand. But then when people actually do it, we've seen examples where it just hasn't worked out.
Difficult to work with immediately.
Yes.
Bray Wyatt. Difficult to work with.
Reinvent yourself, kid.
What was that about?
What?
Because I was sat the on the podcast on Friday, yeah. That quote from VKM.
Oh, yeah. Bray Wyatt's Twitter.
Maybe he caught wind that Vince was going.
I don't know.
Maybe it was like a little...
Bray and Vince are going to start their own promotion. Could you imagine?
B&V.
Swamp in Florida.
Yes. I'm going to switch the order around of mine now because I think my second one actually feeds it quite nicely in from yours, so I'll switch that to first. Mine is a production overhaul. Oh. So you've gone for the tone, whereas I've gone more for the actual production. So I think the main thing that one of the many offshoot stories that came out on Friday was that Kevin Dunn might be out the door. We don't know whether that's true or not. That's pure speculation.
Did that stem from I remember reading something where it was like, oh well, TV14, he's fine with it because it means they don't need to bleep anymore.
Okay.
And they don't, like, it's just laziness. Somebody's
always
miss
it, like Kevin.
Oh, he does,
like,
it's always
bitch! And then the silence happens.
It's really stressful, though, because you've got, like, maybe a 5 to 15 second delay to the truck, and it's like, you've got to kind of know exactly when they're going to say it.
I think the reason is because Kevin Dunn's very much like a Vince man, a Vince boy.
Well, he saved his tapes.
His dad saved the tapes, and Vince's dad ensured that Kevin had a job for life.
Well, I'd like to see, whether Kevin Dunn remains or not, I'd like to see, first of all, the obvious one that everyone complains about all the time is the camera cuts, the constant camera cuts. That is one of those things where if you tune it out, you kind of forget about it, and then... Once it gets pointed out, you just can't unsee it. It ruins the viewing experience.
Do you remember the gif doing the rounds of the post-Raw with the chair shots?
The camera
doing Seth on Drew, and it was just
That's the thing as well. I hate the camera cuts when on an impact. I get it if it's a slightly botched move and it's in post-production and they want to disguise the botch slightly. But if it's live... If someone does a power bomb and they cut on the impact, I think that looks less impactful than if you just had the static camera and
when they do action replay straight away and they're jumping up and in slow motion and then they're fast, speed. Like, why not just leave it all?
I feel insulted because Michael Cole goes, "Watch this," and I'm watching and then I'm like, "Well, I missed that."
Should it be more impactful to show it in slow motion completely if they do nail it
I get cutting on weapon shots because it looks less impactful to cut to the reverse angle. You don't see it physically connect. But like it is when it's just moves. Yeah. It's ridiculous because like the way you'd shoot a car chase sequence in a movie, you want to make the car look as fast as possible, right? So the cameras are still. The car's just going past as fast as possible, like from whatever side. It's just going. But if you start following, the car looks slower. And I think when you start following the action to the level WWE do, you just get lost in this higgledy-piggledy muddle if they just had locked off cameras, it'd be great.
And they're the richest wrestling company in the world. Yep. And the two companies that are often cited as like the kings of wrestling production are Lucha Underground, which doesn't exist anymore. That had a very stylized feel that I wouldn't want WWE to replicate necessarily, but New Japan. And they're the two. WWE's got a bigger budget than them. It can easily do this if it wants to.
It's a very strange thing because nobody can do, I will easily say that, like I don't think anybody could touch WWE in terms of how their live production works, like moving that stage around week, two of those,
it's a huge operation,
like, around like everybody building it, getting it all ready, it's like that is it's stunning, it's unbelievable effort that goes into it, but then by the time it gets on your TV it's just what is going on.
So there was two elements to this pitch. The first one was the camera work and the camera cuts and everything. The other element of production that I want to see overhauled is the backstage feel. The everything feels the same these days. One of my favorite things when you're a kid, for some reason, were you the same? A backstage fight was like the best thing. I loved when they
whenever they
cut
the
acolytes
and they had the door.
Yeah,
and they were just
like
all
that.
Sat round and like
and the heel, Triple H's heel locker room with the potted plant. But at least it looked like the backstage of an arena. And now with these very the word I used before was sterile, these sets that are like there's a red one for Raw and a blue one for SmackDown, and it looks the same no matter which city they're in. One of my favorite things. Maybe they've not done it as well recently, but of early AEW was that a lot of the shows looked really different as well. You got the hard cam thing for Jacksonville and the cruise ship and everything. Well, I want WWE not necessarily to do something that radical, but to bring back just, if something happens in a car park or in a corridor backstage, shoot it in that environment. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I want it, that's why it ties into yours a bit, more of a return to grittiness and realism and that sort of thing. So that's my second, that's my first pitch. I've redone the order, but yeah.
Right. Well, it's a resounding yes for me. I think that, you know, you've got, especially the backstage stuff, you're so right on it. Like, I got it during lockdown when we had that kind of half ring set up and it looked quite nice and it was, but you know, we were in one building that entire time. And I think it's going to sound pathetic, but it's a little bit insulting to be like, hey, we've got this one backstage set when it's like, we all know you backstage in an arena.
Yeah.
Like, we know that everybody's, and I think wrestling used to feel like there were just more of these little cliques in kayfabe and more of these little groups, and you'd see people hanging out backstage, and it just felt more like a living ecosystem.
It's
rather
very
than like, hey, we all turned up and now it's time for the show.
It is, yeah.
We might have the networks to blame for this, you know. Like, we don't know what the networks ask of WWE.
Yeah.
Like, they might just go no more, just like corridor shots. The corridors look horrible. Yeah. We're like, that sparkly ring backstage, get everything in there.
Maybe.
So we don't know, do we? But it's a yes for me as well. Okay. Like, yeah.
No, I miss the, when, was it old SmackDown where they had that weird like metal wave? And it had the screen in it, but they just put it in a different area in each arena when they were backstage. And it was like the one set they were all sideways watching the TV. But it would at least be different in the background every week.
That's another tonal thing we missed earlier. Watching TV sideways.
Get it gone. It normally.
Get it gone.
Ross, your second pitch, please.
It's called Putting the World Back in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oh.
Because WWE is a global product, but a lot of what they put on is just for Americans.
Right.
The Americana. And we know why that is, and that's because Vince McMahon is Mr. America.
Right.
He is not the one with the mask on, obviously, but he is the actual Mr. America. Well, he likes to think he is. Very patriotic. We know about his military background and whatnot, and now he's upbringing and all that sort of stuff, and the good old US of A and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of the storyline still to this day, it feels like Kate is just two Americans. And we're sat here thinking, we're wrestling fans too, and we're part of your universe, but this isn't for us. So I want to see this sort of scrapping. I obviously understand your 4th of July episodes and whatnot.
Right.
That's fine. That's
good.
They're fun. But like, just random storylines just feel
like... Where's the St. George's Raw, eh?
I don't care about that. You know what I mean, though? It feels like Vince is too up... This is weird. Vince is too up America's arse to see the trees of the world. So we are the trees of
what
the world.
The thing is, with them being an American company... I think that's kind of it. Wrestling has been an American thing largely for people who aren't really into the sport for decades now, and I think they've just fallen into that bubble and it's a bit
Well, I see what Ross means, because whenever one of these storylines crops up
it
feels like very shoehorned in.
USA.
USA.
I've got to quickly get on Wikipedia and research what's going on.
Yeah. And it's hard to kind of, obviously for us it's hard to relate, but I imagine you even see like on Twitter and stuff a lot of Americans also if it's not like a 4th of July one or whatever, seem to go like, yeah, but what's the point of this, really? But I will say, for the live audiences, obviously, they get right into it.
I mean, that's obviously what it boils down to, is for that live popalicious, isn't it?
But of course.
This bleeds into, as well, the outdated tropes that are still there for today, up until very recently, sort of foreign heels being foreign because...
Yeah.
But no, heels being foreign because... No, heels foreigners being heels because they are foreign.
Because they're foreign.
Yes.
Shanky's changed that. The Shanky Revolution. He's dancing away.
The Shanky Gates.
The Shanky Gate. Also, the thing of when a heel turns face, suddenly they love America now.
That's been a thing for so long, hasn't it? Yeah.
But then we're going to sit here on this podcast, or this channel, in a few months' time when Cody comes back saying, yeah, go on, America. We love you all, America.
Well, that's just a bit of his gimmick. I can excuse that, I suppose. And he's got the dusty background.
He is part American flag now.
He
that's
is.
What they used to patch up all of his pecs and stuff.
With the American flag.
Yeah. So to surmise, a more diverse
it's like an effort to globalise the
content.
Product.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And get the outdated tropes going as well.
Obviously, it's a yes from me.
Yes from me, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on, everyone. The world. World wrestling.
We are the trees of the world.
We are. Pay attention. Water us. Feed us. Sam, what's your second pitch?
Well, mine actually feeds quite nicely in from this one because this one's called Bursting the Bubble. But it's about, they could maybe go back because we know Triple H is back there. There was this whole push for global localization. There was this whole push for NXT and every continent and, trying to really spread that brand around and get it in as many countries as possible. But I think at this point, it's too risky. It's too costly to do that. They've already shut down the Japanese office, I think they will continue to do it, but it's going to be a lot slower a process and it'll take a very long time. They could partner up with another company if they want to burst the bubble a bit, but at this point, WWE's been that kid for 20 years going around the schoolyard just palming everybody in the face going, we're number one.
Right.
And everybody's now kind of buddied up with AEW. I don't think there's anybody that could really... I mean, they could go and maybe partner up with a really storied company like All Japan or something with another history, but it's not going to be that kind of same level.
Ross's favourite.
It's not going to be that same level of promotion anymore as WWE. So I don't think there's any way they can really cleanly just step out and be like, hey, we're going to work with everybody. But I think that with the whole philanthropy being the future of marketing thing.
Oh, yes.
And I was thinking about that and what WWE could do to maybe mend this fractured image a little bit. And you know, like football in the community, like grassroots football style stuff.
Right.
I think if WWE was to have a pot of money... if they were to have like a pot of money and start some sort of fund that is available for independent companies the world over, if they need production equipment, they can appeal to this fund to try and get some money to go towards stuff. If they need like a new ring, if they need like anything basically that will fall under this remit, training and promotion, things like this, basically building a WWE university that teaches you any major skills you may need, while also having that pot there that's available for people to get stuff from.
Who would be the target? Would this be really small local promotion?
So I think, so essentially, in order to mend a bit of that image as a company that's been running around on top and not caring about any other company for a while, if they were to go super small, up to your bigger indies right now that aren't really affiliated with anybody, like, and they were able to go, well, here's $100,000 toward this whole production overhaul for you or whatever, and they do the big picture with the check or whatever, and WWE gets out there in a way manufacturing this wave of applause that they can ride on to make themselves look a bit better, which does feel a bit like something they would do, but it also gives back to wrestling as a whole, and it allows for maybe a local, say our local indie went, hey, we need a new ring, appeal to the thing, and then they got maybe a little WWE affiliated stamp,
I guess, you
on
could,
their branding
you
or something.
You could even have like a wrestler show up.
Yeah,
or whatever, like, or the other way, if there's one, a local one getting buzz, bring him in.
It's the type of thing where I figured, if it was like, hey, we've got, like that Masterclass website, that type of stuff where you could do where it's like Charles Robinson takes you through like the mindset of refereeing or whatever. And they have these courses available to these companies to put people through and kind of learn from. Because the one thing they've been good at is just keeping going for so long.
Yeah.
And just keeping everything uniform in their style. So you couldn't really be teaching people the style of things, but I think as a means of getting some more money into the like lower wrestling scene and a means of maybe training some people up on certain aspects of it, I think that it would be maybe a positive thing for them in order to mend a bit of that image, to get some applause, to then be like, hey, we're not bad anymore, guys, work with us.
I see what you say, and it is a yes from me, but I will say that I feel like of everything we say here, that might be the least likely one.
Yes.
But it's not what we think is going to happen. It's what we want to happen.
And I'd like for them to maybe redistribute some of that wealth. Of course. Because they could probably even write it off, I imagine, if they make
Give
it a charitable
cause.
Give
back to the wrestling scene.
But it's a way that I just figured they could maybe mend that image a little bit and do it in a way where it's like, hey, we care about even the smallest companies.
Well, fair enough. It's an interesting one, and it is a yes from me. But as I say, I don't know if they do it.
A rising tide brings up all of the ships.
And that's the mentality they carry it on.
Yes. It's interesting. We're speaking about the outlook of the company in the wider world. Because you see the image, Reuters used for their
Ball Vince. Right.
And I saw a lot of people with verified ticks on Twitter, so their opinions obviously very important, saying that this is just a general outlook from people who aren't well versed with wrestling and WWE. This is their outlook on the company, is that Vince is just a clown, and right. People never take him seriously. Oh, he's done a bit of a whoopsie, has he? How what's he like, old Vince? So it's going to be interesting to see how the sort of outlook of the company, just from the wider world, you talk about the bubble, from outside the bubble looking in, how it changes because Vince isn't there anymore.
Mm. I don't know how Reuters works with like images. I'm sure because they're a massive media corporation, they can have anything they want. But my only mentality when I saw that was like, not, oh my God, they're taking the mick a bit, was... like maybe that it was just an image they had to hand that they didn't have to pay for or something that they could
but
have just gotten.
Like a deliberate choice.
It did seem really deliberate.
Maybe they thought, well, he's obviously older then. Yeah. This is more recent.
Wrestling, look at it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well... it's me, isn't it?
It is.
Right. Yeah. My second pick is a return or a refocusing on storytelling over moments. We all know the WWE in the past decade, maybe more, have all been about moments. Where AEW do it as well, to be fair, where a big thing happens and immediately we're like, usually just catching the tail end of someone's reaction or somebody not reacting because they're they're so invested in finding the next meme or finding the next big reaction, like Miz Girl, which was like the one time it worked, and shocked Undertaker guy when the streak ended.
Yeah.
And I think that they're so interested in moments at the expense of long-term storytelling, whereas it's quite a selfish pitch for me, really, but the reason that I get most invested in wrestling is when there's a good storyline behind it. The biggest example I can recently think of was the story or the arc of Hangman Page in AEW. I love the CM Punk MJF feud. That was really storyline-based, mixed in with fantastic wrestling as well, but I think the two really go hand in hand. Whereas in WWE, I've become really frustrated over the years at just the short-term moment being prioritised over the long-term storytelling. Big recent example was Theory being inserted into Money in the Bank and winning it. Despite the build, despite all these qualifying matches and stuff. I'm not saying that was a great story or anything, but it felt like we'd been shortchanged as an audience watching it. And I think that is... because I think Theory's a really, really good wrestler and probably does deserve a push at some point based on his in-ring ability. But he got a huge backlash from winning it that way. I don't think it would have been quite the same if he'd been in the match anyway.
It's even the short-term storytelling like that one there that just didn't show the segment where Vince McMahon spoke to Adam Pearce and said, this is my guy, you've got to put him in there. Like, even that short-term story, they couldn't be asked to do that crucial part. That right. really would have...
Even that would have added
that would have
it.
Taken away the bit of the short-changedness for me.
Do you think that the prioritization of moments led to what we've got now? But like, I feel like... the moments are the things they work out. The storylines can come or go, and the moments kind of actually cover in a lot of instances for poor planning in the storylines or poor planning in where they want to take something, so that essentially, well, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. He jumped off the cage.
Yeah,
and
it's a crutch.
That's all we talk about. Yeah. And so it's kind of like it's just waving this big flag that distracts you while just shoveling everything else under the rug.
I think so. And I think they still do good storylines on occasion. And when they do pay off, I think it's the most rewarding for the viewer and for the live audience as well. I know that like the WrestleMania we all went to, 32, was regarded as generally a bad Mania.
Yeah.
But I had a great time.
Because there was moments after moments.
I remember thinking, well, I'll always have fond memories of that. But for the people watching at home, I see why that's remembered as a weaker WrestleMania, because it was moments over storylines. And I think AEW have done a great job in reminding everybody the power of patient, long-term storytelling. They don't always get it right either, but when they do, I think it's a good reminder. WWE used to do it really, really well back in sort of the Attitude Era and some of the years onwards as well. But I think as time's gone on, I also think Vince just doesn't have a lot of patience as a booker. He seems to hotshot things and change things. We hear about scripts being ripped up on the day of the show on a weekly basis.
Well, it happened this week, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I can understand why
this week.
So I would like, a return to prioritising storytelling over moments.
I think it'll happen as well, you know. It's a yes from me first.
Well, Triple H is good at it.
Gargano and Ciampa. Then Vince stuck his nose in and took him to the main roster.
As a tag team.
And then when they went back, it wasn't as good, we all know. But that first part, before they went to the main roster, that was...
It's the bit that makes no sense, because like the way that wrestling always worked right up until, you know, the end of the Attitude Era was, you know, storylines are what gets people in the building for the eventual big blow off. So it needs to be good, and everybody needs to have some thread to follow. Even if you only see Al Snow once a month, he still needs to be doing something.
That was a big positive of the Attitude Era, was that no matter where you were on the card, everyone had something going on.
Yeah, and that was apparently one of the only things that everybody says about Russo, was like, you know, he really wanted something for everybody.
Yeah.
So,
but
I agree.
Now they get the 24/7 championship. They didn't have that back then.
At least the thing is, like, when I look back at even the hardcore stuff, it is a bit ridiculous and it's a bit hokey, but it was funny. Like, consistently,
pinning
people.
What
I'm saying is, like, I don't know how they couldn't just do more than, because it's always just a gaggle of people running behind some roll-ups. Interview.
Yeah.
And roll it. It's the same three sketches that
Trey
we see
Maverick
each time.
And R-Truth did the best with it.
Yeah.
And then it became really
that was
lazy,
it when he's running around with the flyers on planes and trying to find them.
The like wedding.
That's what it should all be about.
I know. Yeah, even with the comedy or lower card stuff, exactly. This isn't just a main event pitch. This is like throughout the, So storytelling greater than moments.
Completely agree.
Yes, as all round. Ross, your third and final pitch, please.
This is far-fetched.
Go on.
But Vince McMahon has ran things one way and one way only since the dawn of time, and that is independent contractors being masqueraded as employees of his company. And when people work out they're not, people aren't very happy about it. But that's what they sign up for, so I don't know what to say there. But Nick Khan, as I said earlier, I think a lot of... Again, it heavily depends on if this big thing that we all assume is going to come out about Vince is going to come out. The scrutiny on him, just because he's not from the McMahon family, I think, because obviously he's got a big track record in movies and whatever, and Hollywood and all that sort of stuff. So there's going to be a bit of extra scrutiny, I think, on Nick Khan. And I think if more attention is put on this independent contractor status, and I go back to the straight to hell I did with Meltzer all those years ago, where he said that the people in the offices in Stamford, they have healthcare, but the wrestlers on the road don't have healthcare.
The ones beating each other up.
Yeah. So my pitch... Once again, this wholesome cherub sat at the end of the table wants the healthcare, the independent contractor status to go, proper employee status to come in, and maybe, just maybe, because as we all know now, the brand is bigger than any superstar, even bigger than Roman Reigns, you would have to say. WWE is bigger than Roman Reigns. Have unionization.
Because when I said that yours was the least likely of all.
Because back in the day, obviously, back in the day, who was it? It was
Jesse Ventura.
And obviously Hogan found out. They didn't want it because obviously Hogan was getting paid lots of money as it was, and that would have changed everything for him. Mm. There's no Hogan now to stop it, so why the hell not? It'll end wrestling, but you know, at least we'll all be healthier and happier for it.
I think there's a way to do it where, because the company, it has a lot of money, but to make that shift is very financially huge for them. They can do it, but I think the logistics of it, the way it's going to have to work, it'll have to be more like the NFL Players Association, where it's its own very big organization kind of managing these WWE stars in a way where... I think it does make sense, really, doesn't it? If they start doing things where it's external movie work and all that, but then the problem comes when WWE pulls a WWE and they're like, oh, we need somebody short notice. And then the union's like, no, or you can't do that. This, and I think that's where they're going to butt heads. But if there's a way where they can make it happen, it's the best case scenario for everybody, that, because everybody's getting the proper treatment, care and employment status.
Or conversely, you know, because that is a far-fetched thing I've just said there, if you're going to have them as independent contractors, AEW allow it, don't they?
Let them do other stuff.
Let them go and work elsewhere?
Yeah.
On the weekend, if they've got a weekend off.
You can't have it both. Yeah. Although they have had it, but they can't have it, but they've had it both ways.
Yeah, so just either or, just, you know, what I mean.
Obviously, it's a big no from me. Ridiculous. No, it's a yes from me. And I think it's the sort of thing where if in the future it does happen, one of those moments where everyone's like, can't believe we've not had this for years.
I have seen people say that would be the end of wrestling, and I don't understand why, because I'm not very clever.
Once you have a union at the very top, then AEW will be forced to follow suit, and it depends how it's going to work, because a union should be overreaching of the industry, so it should just be for all pro wrestlers, but then at that point the union's going to have to deal with every promotion. So anybody who gets unionized, it's like working on a film. If you work on a film or certain venues in America, when we were looking in a prior life for wrestling venues and stuff, it was like, okay, well, you have to use union staff and it comes at this rate and that, and so there are like certain restrictions to having union and non-union people working together, which might lead to some kind of butting heads.
Well, but scrap the unionization part and we'll just bring in the healthcare and the employees.
There's a way to do it though, and I think it does for the industry as a whole. That's going to be something that lifts it into either a new status, or it's going to just completely blow up in a weird way and
it'll
then
be interesting.
Come back.
Think of the views we'd get.
Yeah. I agree with it, though. Like, fully, I reckon unionization, healthcare, all of that stuff, the fact wrestlers are still having to pay for their own travel and all that, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Two yeses for us.
Yeah.
Sam, your third and final pitch, please.
So mine, it's to do with like celebrity involvement. And we had such a dead period of celebrity involvement. We had rock and wrestling, which was phenomenal. And it was very kind of lightning in a bottle. You had MTV, you had wrestling, you had NBC. It was all this perfect storm that led to the boom, that led to what we know as wrestling now. But since then, it kind of fell off. It got a bit, you know, through the 90s, we had Mike Tyson, and you know, it was quite interesting. But then we ended up with like Snooki, and it just got worse and worse. And then we're in a new period where we had Bad Bunny, we've had Logan Paul, and they've both been phenomenal.
Yeah.
But we still get instances like Tyson Fury, where you get somebody who comes out, smirks the entire time, waves, hits 2-3 moves, walks out with the biggest bag of money that any of those wrestlers would have ever seen in their lives.
People on stroller.
And just go away, and then he can come back whenever he wants. Which, fine, big name, but I think we need to move more towards any celebrity involvement being very carefully chosen. I think it needs to be done in a way where we are going to get more Logan Paul types, more Bad Bunny types that really go in and train and want to make a splash when they're here. And I think that by doing that properly, you're going to draw a lot of eyes to the product, but it has to go hand in hand with the tonal shift. Because I think when you bring these eyes in and they see wrestling as this kind of semi-childish thing, which a lot of the outer world still does, I think if you bring people in and they see something different, then it's going to lead to maybe more people sticking around. But I think as well, if you were to, while this is happening, you're getting more celebrities involved with WWE, if you just start sending Roman Reigns to every major UFC event, start sending people to movie premieres, send them everywhere you can that's high profile. And this is something Nick Khan, I feel, is going to be great for. But I think getting them out there in the real world as normal people, as celebrities, rubbing shoulders with other celebrities, it normalizes them a bit more.
Well, The big one, sorry to just interject, but the big one there that many people don't know who I'm going to say, but I can't believe they didn't make more a deal of was Sasha Banks. Yeah. She was in a Star Wars series. Yeah. It's huge. And I know she wasn't, I don't think she was a major role.
No,
in it,
but
it's still
massive.
And they just barely mentioned it.
I think
that's because she didn't get it through them.
So yeah, what?
She got hot ones.
But it can only benefit,
It can only benefit the company. It's like, hey, Star Wars, Disney. Us, like they're on the same level, and it's. I think by just sending these people out and just having them at the Super Bowl, have them everywhere you can, where there's cameras, celebrities, and eyes, and make sure they're just kind of normal people. You're gonna maybe lead to more moments like, you know, the silly Brock Undertaker UFC you want to go kid moment.
Yes.
They're just quick dirty headlines, but eventually something's gonna stick that causes enough fuss that potentially you can use, and you know, especially if you're bringing people like Logan Paul in, why just get the Miz out there doing stuff with him, like get it all over anything that you've got that celebrity, use everything you can.
Have him break onto his podcast and beat him up.
Yeah, I think by offering the talent out to more things like that, you're basically inviting a lot of situations that could lead to a potential boom situation.
I recently saw that the House of Black beat up Darby Allin at Comic-Con, I think it was.
Yeah,
it was fair enough.
It's like that sort of stuff, because while it is sometimes like, you know, eye-rolling, sometimes it's a bit like, oh, God. But I think the more it happens,
It depends how they do it as well, because they had Johnny Knox, Sami Zayn on the red carpet for the Jackass premiere before WrestleMania. And it seemed that the wider media didn't quite take to that angle they did on the red carpet. It depends how they do it. There was no fault of Sami Zayn, by the way. Sami Zayn was just being Sami Zayn with, you know, the volume 10 in his heel persona, but it didn't resonate. Maybe we just do need Roman Reigns just to take his shirt off on the red carpet. That'd be it.
Roman does a couple of films, I think it's going to maybe lead to just that little bit
of. She also has two problems. You've got that, but you've also got more careful use of celebrities in wrestling.
Yeah, and I think with just sort of the language and stuff, just to go back to that from the original point, like when people start tuning in, if it's presented like bloody wrestling, it's wrestling, and that's what they're expecting to see. And I think if they're talking about why a hold hurts so much and really breaking it down like they used to, use the move names. It sounds impressive when you start talking in ridiculous stuff people don't understand.
Yeah,
like it's like, oh, he's got him in whatever hold, and okay, why does it hurt? Break it down. Like,
I think. I mean, it's obviously a yes from me, and I think, as you were saying, as you mentioned Mike Tyson in the 90s, if they'd used Tyson Fury, who clearly didn't have that much of an aptitude for wrestling, if they'd used him in more of a Mike Tyson role, not in the match,
but
like he could punch a heel after us, you know, that would have worked fine. I don't think anyone would have had an issue, but
yeah, it would have been grand.
That's the thing, because if Logan Paul came in at WrestleMania and he was crap and the Low Gang were tuning in.
The Low Gang.
I think that's what they're called.
I guess so.
I don't know, I might have just made that up. If they're watching their boy just, you know, be a fish up a tree in a wrestling ring, they're not going to come back, are they?
No.
But I think the fact he was that good, the Low Gang might come back. Yeah. Maybe they have come back. Are you there, Low Gang?
Do you know what my favourite bit of every post Logan Paul appearance is? It's when we sit on the podcast and watch Matthew have to pretend that he was bad. He goes, he wasn't that good. Matthew, we know that he's not a nice guy. We know he did that thing. But he is pretty good at the wrestling. So it's all yeses so far. But my final pitch is going to get a no from at least Ross. I know that. The last thing I would like to see is a return of NXT Black and Gold. No more 2.0. No more silliness. No more gimmickry. No, we can still have gimmicks and stuff and humor. But what I really want is a return to NXT Black and Gold, meaning...
Boring.
No.
Work rate.
No.
Wrestling.
Not necessarily.
5'2" skinny lads in little trunks.
This all sounds fantastic.
I'm good at wrestling me. That's my character.
No.
I will agree that.
I wear kick pads. That means I know how to kick people.
I would enjoy a return to the...
Is that a three count? No. It's 17 million kickouts at 2.99.
I would like a return to the cool different cities. TakeOver's named after cities. But the main thing that I want especially is for a return to it functionally as it used to be, as a stop-off point or a stepping stone to the main roster. Because I think a big reason that the latter era of NXT Black and Gold, before it became 2.0, a big reason that became boring was because it became more of a fixed roster and we saw the same matches again and again. And everyone was like, oh, right. Whereas part of the reason NXT was so exciting was that you'd have these programs for like a year and they were great. And then like, oh, Nakamura's here now or Samoa Joe, and then you have a whole new set of matches for them to do. And it was a really, really exciting time, and they were knocking it out of the park all the time, and then it ground to a halt. a part of that was that they became almost self-aware and the matches did become overindulgent.
Oh, yeah.
I think the worst example of that might have been the last Ciampa Gargano one, the cinematic one, where they're on the truck and it was a drone.
Too porny, wasn't it?
Shawn Michaels loved that.
Anything where it just takes me out of the fact it's supposed to be like a fight when it's like how many takes did they have to do with this when they really get in there with like the high end cameras
and
that.
Their hands were like reaching for each other. They're both laying. Yeah. But I would like to see a return of NXT Black and Gold. Maybe not my clickbaity first title of the pitch there, but more in terms of it's a stepping stone to the main roster.
So like the mentality of it rather than the packaging.
Rather than as a little third brand of its own, a developmental thing.
Yeah. I know it's striking the balance as well, because I don't know about you two, but my personal favourite era was like 15, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Nakamura comes in.
Yep.
Then we get a 2017 where you got Aleister Black and people like that. That's my favourite era. But while they were all work rate boys, they all had very defined and very big characters as well. Yes. So it's striking that balance for me.
Maybe give it a tentative yes, because the idea that you could have, like, keep the brand and keep everything how it looks now, but the idea you bring back maybe one or two legends per class, if we kind of treat it like a few years
fine.
As a class.
They can do that.
And then I think, you bring back one or two big names, or you bring in one or two of the bigger established indie names from out there. They can be, they don't need to be like your final bosses or whatever, but they can be, featured parts of the show without it, because it did get to a point toward the end of NXT Black and Gold where it was all major stars.
Yeah.
And it was like, eh. So I think while it was great, but I think if they want to keep that developmental feel while also having it be a stepping stone for other people, I think,
I wouldn't mind, temporarily sacrificing work rate high and saying work rate matches for getting people through. Cause I'd never heard of Enzo and Cass, for example, or even FTR or the Mechanics, I think they were called back then. I think a return to that. Well, you've said yes, sorry, Ross.
Well, I'll go for it, yeah.
As long as Andre Chase is still
as
around.
As long as it's not like
you don't mess with by Wendy Chu.
As long as it's not like 2019 to 2021 NXT Black and Gold, which was boring.
Too serious, wasn't it?
Too serious, too work ratey. You need to strike that balance between the work rate, but
silly,
the big
though, isn't it?
Well, now you get the both, don't you?
You
get Giovanni Vinci and Apollo Crews put on a clinic, but then you get the whimsical Wendy Chu taking the piss.
I just feel like there's
a lot
of the second category. But yes, it's all yeses all round. We're,
nice.
We're really clever and good boys.
None of them will happen.
No. But remember, these aren't predictions. These aren't what we think is going to happen. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how much, if at all, WWE is going to change in the wake of the shocking news that Vince McMahon is stepping down. But those were our 9 pitches for WWE post Vince McMahon. Thank you very much for watching. Leave your pitches in the comments section down below. What would you like to see change in WWE? It's not what you think is going to happen. It's what you want to happen. Thank you to Ross and Sam
Forbidden
for joining.
Forbidden Door 2.
Forbidden Door 2. Thank you, Ross and Sam, for joining me on this.
Me and Jack booked that card.
Thank you for joining me on this video, on this quest.
Thank you.
On a Sunday, on a weekend.
Yeah.
Ross is hungover.
I'm
tired.
I don't know if you can tell everybody.
But no, I couldn't tell.
I'm hanging in there.
You've done well. You've done well, mate.
Have you ever had a tequila rose before?
No.
Tequila rose? That laugh taught me.
I don't even know what was in it with the tequila, but it tasted like milkshake. So we were getting trays of 20 of them last night.
Fun.
What a time you've had. Yeah. Thank you very much again. And leave yours in the comment section down below. Look out for all the content coming out. We'll have the build of SummerSlam and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, Christ, that's next weekend.
Next Saturday, I believe.
Next Saturday.
So stay tuned for all that, and thanks for watching. And we'll see you very soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
for all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes. Search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.